overlooking the mountains and the vineyards. he's doing a course there. He's only coming back this weekend. So he's here to greet you. So I really have something that I want to share this morning. And I am so happy about the word that Sudia just brought, because it just really confirms the word that I want to bring this morning. So let's just pray before we share the word. Father, we thank you that you said to us this morning not to be anxious about anything, Father. Father, and our prayer this morning is that we will understand the love of God that is perfect and that drives out all fear. And Father, wherever we are sitting this morning in this church, Father, those who could not be here, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will reveal unto us your love, God, so that we can have indeed in our lives no fear, because your perfect love drives out the fear. And God, that we can just know you and your abundance. And Father, we pray that this word this morning will not speak to our mind as much as it speaks to our hearts, so that we can indeed be free in you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, the title of my sermon this morning is Rivers of Pleasure. Does that sound good? I would like to read from Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. And it's a little story that most of us will know. You know, the Bible has some stories that is really quite fascinating. And when we read them, we understand that the people in the times of Jesus were just like us. There was nothing different about them. So this is a story about a man who was short. And he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't. So he climbed into a tree. And I want to read that story. His name was Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verse 1. As Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it, a man named Zacchaeus appeared. He was a leading tax collector and a rich one at that. He was a rich thief. Okay? He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he couldn't do so due to the crowd, since he was a short man. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. And listen to this. I must stay at your house today." We should do what Jesus did. We should say, "I must stay at your house today." And then we can stay wherever we want to when we don't want to stay at our own houses anymore. Zacchaeus came down quickly and was glad to welcome him into his home. But all the people who saw this began to complain. "Jesus is going to be the guest of a notorious sinner." Jealousy, that is. Later, Zacchaeus stood up and announced to the Lord, "Lord, I will give half of my possessions to the poor. I will pay four times as much as I owe if I have cheated anyone in any way." Then Jesus told him, "Today salvation has come to this home, because this man is also a descendant of Abraham. And the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." I think this is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. I know I say this about almost every story, but today I think this is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, because it really is so radical. And once again we see how radical Jesus was and how different he was. So Jesus comes into Jericho and he knows all things, even though he was human. He was so in tune with God the Father that he could discern on a level that some of us must still learn to discern, but it is very possible to get there. And Jesus comes in and he is very aware of this man sitting in the tree. And he is very aware of the fact that this man has a very bad reputation. And he looks up and he says, "Will you please come down from that tree? Because I need to sleep somewhere tonight and I would love to sleep at your house." And this man, Zacchaeus, is so absolutely astonished, I imagine, that this great man, Jesus, that can do miracles, wants to come and stay in his house. He does not even think of many excuses. He just says, "Sure, you can come and stay at my house." And Jesus comes into his house, and the mere presence, just Jesus being there, changes this man's heart completely and absolutely. His heart is turned around. And the question is, why? Why did Zacchaeus have such a radical change of heart without one word of condemnation or rebuke? Jesus didn't say, "You are a bad tax collector, but I do love sinners. So because I love sinners, I will stay at your house and this will change you." No. Why? And this is what I am getting at this morning. Why was his heart open to Jesus? His heart was open because there was no judgment. There was no condemnation. And when Jesus looked into his eyes, I imagine, and he said to him, "Can you come down from the tree? I want to stay at your house." He looked into the eyes of Jesus, just like the prostitute who came to wash the feet of Jesus. She looked into his eyes, and what he saw in the eyes of Jesus was only one thing, and that was love. That was unconditional acceptance. And without saying it with words, Jesus was saying, "I don't care what all the people here say or think about you. I don't care how much they hate you. I don't care for the fact that I'm supposed to sleep at a good person's house, a person who loves me. I don't care. Because I want to stay at your house. Because I have an appointment with you. Because I came here especially to show you, Zacchaeus, a rich man, a bad man. I come to show you that I do not judge." I want to read another scripture from Romans 2. I want to read verse 1 and then verse 4. "Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who judges. For when you pass judgment on another person, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, practice the very same things." And then verse 4, "Or are you unaware of his rich kindness, forbearance, and patience? That it is God's kindness that is leading you to repent." There's a song that says, "It's your kindness, O Lord, that leads us to repentance." And then he carries on saying, "It is your kindness, O God, that leads us to repentance." And something that I have found, and I'm really trusting God that we will be encouraged this morning. Something that I have found is that when we become born again, and we should have a day that our lives have changed. Because becoming born again is a radical experience. If it happened, you should know that it happened. You cannot be born and not know that it happened. You cannot give birth and not know that you have given birth. Do all the ladies here agree with me? You know you gave birth. And maybe we don't know now when we were born, but back then we did because we screamed so much when we came out of our mother's womb. It is quite a radical experience. And when that happens to us, Why are we so different in those first couple of weeks and months of knowing God? I want to ask you a question. Who of you, you can raise your hands, who of you who are sitting here became born again and suddenly you were like somebody who was in love on cloud nine? Can you raise your hands? Hi. Okay, most of us. Now, the question is, why? Why did we feel like that? And the answer to that is quite simple. Condemnation comes to every single human being. That is why there are so many people who sin from Monday until Saturday and go to church on Sunday, and then sin from Monday until Saturday and go to church on Sunday. So many people like Zacchaeus who do whatever they want to do. But what is the problem? They feel guilty. What is the problem with all of us all the time? We feel guilty, and some of us ignore those guilty feelings so many times that eventually maybe we do not feel guilty anymore. But deep down we do, because condemnation comes to all of us. But this is what happens when we become born again. When we encounter God, there is something that we understand. And I dare to say, if you did not have that experience that everything has changed, then maybe it was not a real God encounter. Maybe. I'm not saying. I'm asking. Because when we encounter God for the first time, we have that amazing experience. It is because we understand something deep down. We might not be able to communicate it or figure it out with our minds, but deep down, we completely and absolutely understand, I am not guilty anymore. And we can relax. And that is the joy of our salvation. The joy of our salvation is the fact that we understand, I am so safe and I am so free. And if I sin again, if I make mistakes again, it is going to be okay. It is going to be fine. Because no longer do I have to walk around feeling so wrong all the time. And that is, when it comes to God, to me personally, this is what I can appreciate the most. I do appreciate creation. Obviously, we appreciate creation, everything that God has made, the wonder of having children, the wonder of loving somebody and receiving love. But ultimately, when it comes to God, and when we speak about the joy of our salvation, we refer to the fact that we are free. We are safe. We are okay. Whatever happened, it is okay. Whatever may happen, it is okay, because we understand completely and absolutely the freedom that there is. Because there is no judgment. And I think about Paul and all the disciples and the fact that they were holding on to the law. They were holding on to the law, and then Jesus came and Jesus said, I set you free from all these rules, and what I am presenting to you is the circumcision of the heart. What is that? That is, as from now on, your hearts will change. And because your heart is changing, you will experience the absolute joy of wanting to serve God, of wanting to change. Because if that scripture that says, O taste and see that the Lord is good, it's no more rules and regulations, it is just goodness and liberty and freedom, and nothing is forced. Nothing is forced. I look at my children, and I'm sure all the parents here will know exactly what I'm speaking about, especially if you still have small children. If your children are big, maybe you can remember. But I see something with my children, and this is true for children who grow up in a family where there is a lot of love and a lot of embrace and no condemnation. Discipline, yes, but no manipulation and no condemnation. And I look at my children and I see how absolutely free they are. I am busy in the office, I am busy working, I have to work, I'm on my computer, I do not want them to bother me. They simply open the door. If it's closed, they don't, sometimes they knock as they get old and I'm trying to get it into their head, you knock. But, you know, they mostly just burst in there, they demand my attention, they force me to leave the computer, they sit on my lap, and little Carly will take my face in his hand and turn it towards him, that I will lock eyes with him, and they literally force me to give attention to them because they are so free. They are so free in my presence. And it is the same with their dad. He says, no, not now, I cannot leave me. They completely ignore it and they force themselves. You know, in my bed in the mornings, most of you will know this, we desperately want to sleep a little bit more, and in our instance, it's literally five children getting into the bed and there's no space, and Uncle tells them, go back to your own bed, and they completely ignore him because there's love here, there's warmth here, there's embrace here, and they will take it because it is theirs and it is theirs, and they will take it and they will receive it, and that is just the way it is. And they will come to me. Michael came to me the other day. Michael is 7 now, and he said, I really thought about my birthday, and I will tell you now what I want for my birthday in March. And I said, yes, what is it? So I thought he's going to say a watch or a cell phone, because he's very much into these things that we do not really allow yet. And then he said, I would really like an ensuite bathroom to my room, and I would like to have my own room. If you can move my brothers out, and if you can just build an ensuite bathroom out, that's what I would love for my birthday. You know, and then I put this on Facebook, and somebody said, isn't it amazing how they think you can do anything? How you really think that I can make that happen? I can say, sure, Michael, we will build you an ensuite bathroom just for you. I wish I could, just for your birthday. Because that is the kind of liberty and freedom that there is. And there is no condemnation. I look at my children and they feel guilty about nothing. Last night I got them all together because underneath the way and it's getting out of hand. And I put them all down and I said to them, this is the way it is now. If you are disobedient, once more, and if you fight and argue and beat and kick each other once more, I'm going to take you to that bathroom and I'm going to give you a hiding that you will never forget. So listen now, this is the way it is now. And 10 minutes later, lo and behold, they were fighting as if I never had this speech. So unfortunately, two of them had to go to the bathroom and I had to get the wooden spoon, and I really gave them a solid hiding that was not pleasurable at all. And they woke up this morning so free, so happy, so content, feeling guilty, not ever, not at all. Because there is so much love and so much liberty and so much freedom. And they know that they know that they know. We will always love them, no matter what they do. No matter what they do. And this is what I, you know, so often when I hear or read a story about a son or a daughter who went to jail and a mother who loves enough and cares enough to shut down the voices of the world and visit that son and take him gifts and tell him, even though you committed a murder, I still love you. Why? Because you are my son, and that will never ever change. And I found something, and really what I am sharing with you this morning is something that God has revealed to me over the past months, and I was shocked at how immature I still am in this thing. And how far I still have to grow in understanding unconditional love. And there's something that I want to say this morning, and I want us to know, I want every single person here to know, I'm speaking to you. Forget the person next to you or behind you, I'm speaking to you. And I want to say this morning, God is not angry with you. God is not condemning you. God is not going to punish you. Why? Why? Because Jesus died. Because Jesus died. Because Jesus gave his blood. And if we are not willing to accept that, why did Jesus die? Why did he give himself if we are not going to be willing to accept that gift of freedom and liberty? And really what I am experiencing at the moment is just God coming to me and telling me how much he loves me. Doesn't matter who I am or who I am not or where I made mistakes, because God is a great deal bigger than our mistakes. He's a great deal bigger than our offenses and our hurts and our grudges and our terrible failures. He's a great deal bigger than that. I want to share a testimony with you. And this really is a very personal testimony. I'm making myself quite vulnerable to share this, but I think it will help some of us. There was a time in our lives, fairly recently, where we really went through a difficult patch in our marriage. And I found myself not getting it right to be the godly wife that I would like to be and that I desire to be, and not being the submissive wife that I know I should be. And I found myself hardening my heart. And this happens when there's a lack of time together and not enough communication and so many things happening in life and we don't get to one another. And I found my heart really getting hard. And something that I did is I started to just blame every single thing that went wrong on Anton. Whether it is the children, something with me, something with the school, something with the church, I would just take that blame and put it on him. And I found that me myself, I felt very condemned. And I constantly felt like whatever I'm doing, I'm just failing at it. And things were building up and building up and building up, and it came to the point where we needed to just look each other in the eyes and say, okay, let's just sit down and see what is going on here between us. And let's just ask God to come in and help us to sort this out. And we sat down and we started to speak, and we were just inviting the Holy Spirit to. There's no marriage counselor like the Holy Spirit. I have not encountered any human being who can do marriage counseling, anything, in any way, like the Holy Spirit. People will say lots of things and ask many questions. The Holy Spirit goes right to the bottom line and says, this is the problem. And as we were speaking, I just became very aware of the bitterness and the hardness in my heart and the great injustice that I am doing by having a hardened heart. And I just started breaking before the Lord and before my husband, and I was just repenting before God. And you know, sometimes we see, has it ever happened to you? Sometimes it's like we just see the truth. We were hiding from it, we were pushing it down, we were not willing to face it. And then the Holy Spirit comes in love, because whenever it is forced, it never works. He comes with the greatest love And he just reveals our hearts unto us, and we see the truth, and we are quite shocked. And that is where godly sorrow comes in. Godly sorrow is a beautiful thing. When we realize how bad our sin is, and we start crying and breaking before God, because we really understand how much we are in need of a Savior. And as I was just crying before God and repenting towards my husband, just for hardening my heart, God spoke to me so powerfully. And this is really something that we need to understand. God said to me, as long as you think that I, God, am judging you, you will judge others. Can I say that again? As long as you perceive me, God, Father God, to judge you for your sin, you will judge others. It is like being a liar and expecting other people to lie. That is just the way human beings work. And I realized that there is such a severe lack of understanding in my mind of the fact that God is not judging me because of the blood of Jesus. And I need to come to that point in my life where I am like my children, just forcing myself on his lap, no matter what I did or how much I failed, just forcing myself on his lap and putting my hands on his face and turn his eyes towards me and take that liberty and that freedom because I can, because I may, because it is okay. And in that time of just crying before God, the greatest liberty and freedom and joy washed over me, because I just realized it is so okay. It is so well with my soul because I am indeed forgiven. And my husband just looked at me and he said, you know what? I have nothing against you. Nothing. Because I love you. And there's freedom here. There's liberty here. You sin against me, and I sin against you. And I want to encourage you to come to that marriage seminar, because we will speak about this. We sin against each other. We sin against our children. Our children sin against us. In church, we offend each other. We sin against each other. But God forgives us over and over and over again. And the blood of Jesus is there all the time. And there's such freedom and such liberty. And why am I sharing this? I want to read to you another scripture. It is from Psalm 36, verse 8 and 9. They are refreshed from the abundance of your house. You cause them to drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is a fountain of life. And in your light, we will see light. And, sorry, I just like to drink some water. I was reading this scripture and I realized something. You know, the word speaks about the tree that is next to the river. And its roots go deep and goes into the river. And there's a constant supply of water and nutrition. And then it says that tree bears fruit in abundance. And it speaks about the tree that bears fruit in every season. In winter, in summer, in fall, in spring. It bears fruit in every season. And the question is, why does that tree bear fruit in every season? Because the roots are constantly there where the supply is. Now, how do we drink from the rivers of pleasure? I love the fact that the word uses the term pleasure. How do we do that? And this is something that really came to me as such a revelation, such a fantastic danger. I kept on understanding the love of God that is setting me free constantly. And what happened? What happened 12 years down the line that now I'm struggling and I'm battling and it feels like I'm just working and working and working and slaving away at my relationship with God? What did I lose? I lost my freedom. I lost my liberty. You know what happened to me? I used to burst into God's office, even if he's busy on the computer. I used to push his chair away from the computer and force myself on his lap and look into his eyes just to see that love, to see that acceptance. And what happened to me? Now, so many years down the line, I stand at the door and I'm, can I come in? Is it going to be okay? Maybe he's too busy. Maybe I should rather come later. Maybe I should knock softly and see if he will open. And if he opens, is he going to discipline me? Is he going to be angry at me? This is what I lost. This is what I lost. And I understood that if my roots are in that constant supply of water, I will not lose my liberty with God. I will not lose my understanding of his love that is greater than anything else that I know, that is bigger than anything else I have ever experienced. And this is what I found in church, and I really want to, I'm trusting God that we will understand that this morning. So many of us are serving God, thinking, I should do this and I should do that. And I should go there and I should go there. And I should speak like this and I should walk like this and I should dress like this. And this is how I serve God. But this is what God is saying. God is saying, take away the church, take away the people, take away the voices, take away the noise. Just take it all away and just for a second, be alone with God. Apart from any other voice, any other influence, any book, anything else. And just experience the liberty. Just experience the love apart from anything else. And then we will come to our full potential. I have learned that nobody, none of us come to our full potential in God. None of us become who we are supposed to be in God if we are trying to please people, if we are trying to find in programs, even though we need that, or in seminars, but if we find him for who he is, if we find his person and that him that no human being can give us, if we find him there, we come back to church and we are that tree that bears fruit in every season. We are that living waters that flow constantly. We are that life, because we keep on drawing from the source of life. And my question to you this morning is, what is your relationship with God like if everything else must fall away? If the people that you are surrounded with, if everything else must fall away, what is your understanding with God? How is your experience with him? And we were having some amazing prayer and worship on Thursday evening. Some of us were there, and we were praying just for the year and for Shofa as a whole big family in South Africa and overseas, and also for Shofa Staddington and Shofa Sukuna joined us. And the word that God kept on speaking to us was just liberty and freedom, and just knowing God in a way where we feel absolutely free just to worship, just to dance before him. And God said it is from that place that we will bear fruit. It is not from a place where we are forced, and where we feel condemned if we don't, and where there is a set of rules, but just having that liberty to know Him and serve Him. I want to read the last scripture from John 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. I just came to an understanding that the worship that we give unto God and the worship that I give unto God really becomes real, really becomes intimate if it is from a place of understanding His perfect love. When I understand His perfect love, when I understand His unconditional acceptance, when I understand it, when I come to repentance because I understand His kindness, then I am free. That song that says, take the shackles off my feet, He took the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise Him. I just want to praise Him. Like that song that we sang just now. That comes from a place of such understanding, such knowledge of the love of God. And that is why the Word says, do not fear. Do not be anxious. Like Sunia said this morning. That is why the Word says, do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because perfect love drives out fear. That is why. And my encouragement this morning is, go to God and ask Him to reveal to you and to reveal to me the perfect love that is greater than anything else that we experience. Let's come before God and ask Him to reveal to us that perfect, amazing love, because that is the place where we find Him. And that is the place where we become free to worship Him. Can we quickly stand? I just want to ask us to do something this morning. I want us to just search our own hearts and just see where we are at with God. And I specifically want us this morning to pinpoint those things in our hearts that we feel guilty about, that we feel overwhelmed by, that we feel we cannot face, we do not know how to cope with it. And those things that is making us feel like failures, like losers. You know that thing where we just look at ourselves and we think, I'm just such a loser. Just take that thing, whatever it may be, that thing that brings fear, that brings insecurity. Just take that thing this morning. If we can start some soft background music, I'd really appreciate it. Just take that thing and give it to God. And ask God to reveal unto us that liberty and that love that makes us know that we are safe and that drives out all the fear. Let's just do that. We are just going to be quiet, every one of us on our own. Just take that thing and tell God what it is.
Amen.